This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Say goodbye to a team that was very, very good. We say good morning to our dear friend, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, CC. I'm doing all right. Disappointed. I'm disappointed, obviously. I mean, Islanders end up losing and their season is over, but I couldn't be prouder of the team in how they fought, how they battled back, how resilient they were. I mean, this was a team that you could clearly see it last night, right? I mean, they're a great team, but as far as the skill level compared to what Tampa has to offer, it's
night and day.
Same. Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same.
It's night and day. And here's the thing. Look, the Rangers fan in me is like, this is great. Just the legitimate sports fan in me, you have nothing to be upset about, really. You're upset because it's over. You're upset because you didn't wind up hoisting the cup. But what a performance, really. I mean, that's a team that goes Game 6 Eastern Conference Finals and for the most part goes toe-to-toe with, I think, the best team in the NHL. And you're right. You watched six games of this series. Tampa's better. I mean, just talent-wise, they're just, from top to bottom, they're a better team. But if you're an Islanders fan today, I think you hold your head pretty high because I think that was a heck of a performance.
You have to. And, of course, you're going to be, I mean, again, I said it, you're disappointed. We're all disappointed. And you had opportunities. That felt like one of those games last night. I'm sure you felt the same way watching it with how well Varlamov was playing, that felt like a game that the Islanders were going to find a way to pull out, like they were going to be able to steal that game, and they had the opportunities. I mean, you have from the blue line in overtime, you kill a power play again to start overtime. You actually had a chance to win the game on the penalty kill. Nelson, uncontested breakaway from the blue line in, and Vasilevsky makes a great save. And then what actually aggravated me the most was how bad that power play was in overtime. The Islanders' power play in overtime was awful. It really was. So they had their opportunities. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Tampa makes a nice play there. Cirelli, who came back after it looked like a serious knee injury, gets open in front. Not a great play by Toews. And then Barzal got lazy, and then they end it. But, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about moving forward with the Islanders.
Rico, I know you say you're disappointed, but didn't you expect Tampa would beat the Islanders and advance to the Stanley Cup Finals? Like, I remember you talking about how good Tampa was all year long and how they got bounced last year and they were going to use that as kind of fuel to push them to get to where they wanted to be. I mean, you expected this to be the spot where the Islanders' magical run ended, didn't you?
Well, before the season started, I picked Tampa to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. So, I mean, I expected them to bounce back from what happened last year. I just think what I really like – what I like about this Islanders team is you're seeing the natural progression. I mean, now you won three series and you got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm sure Lou will look to add a piece to that Barzal line because you see the difference. I mean, with point in the lineup,
oh
that point,
God,
Palat, Kucherov, I mean, and then you put Hedman's on the ice with them. I mean, they have the puck in the offensive zone the entire time. Like, there were some clear deficiencies that Lou will address. You'll have Sorokin. I mean, as good as Varlamov played, I mean, if anyone's seen, you know, highlights of Sorokin in the KHL, like, the kid's legit. So, you know, they'll add maybe a piece this offseason. It's going to be a short offseason. And then, I mean, if you're an Islanders fan, you got to be
excited for the future.
You have to be.
I mean, you're in great hands, right? You have a great GM. You have a great coach. You have young talent. You got a star goalie coming in. You could have a new arena. Like, what honestly, and I don't like the team, but what is there not to be excited about with the future of this club?
Nothing. Nothing, in all honesty. I mean, then you lost Cizikas and you lost Pelech. So, I mean, you weren't at full strength. But, I mean, what this team was able to accomplish this season, especially under the circumstances, you know, being away from their families for 2 months and everything else, the way they fought, I mean, the best word to describe how I feel right now is I'm proud. I'm proud of those guys.
And you should be. And you should be. All right. So Chris, let's turn to you. I mean, my God, I don't know what to say about the Yankees at this point. Every day it's like we hit 5 home runs, we'll hit 6 home runs, we'll hit 7 home runs. I mean, they are slugging the ball. And how quickly the tide turns. A week ago we're like, they have to beat Baltimore, otherwise they could be in real trouble to not get into the postseason. And now you know they're going to get in, and the question is, where are they going to wind up? And I'll ask you this. In your mind right now, we're still a week, a little bit more than that to play in the regular season. Are they the favorites in the American League right now?
I don't want to go as far as saying we're the favorites in the American League, but I am optimistic about where we could end up. I mean, we're a game back behind Minnesota to be able to host a first-round playoff series. So that's exciting. The fact that we've got a 2.5 game lead over the Blue Jays for second place in the AL East, I think that's where we wanted to be. And listen, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. What a difference a week makes, man. You sweep Baltimore on the strength of good starting pitching, and then the bats came alive in this series against Toronto, man. This is the first time – in baseball history where you have a team hit six or more home runs in three straight games. I mean, the Yankees set a record for home runs in a series with 19. I mean, offensively, you're seeing everything you want to see. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton looked like he's got his timing back, even though he did strike out with bases loaded in the seventh. I mean, he looked good last night. And then, I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, he had a multi-hit game. That was the first time he had a four-hit game since July 23rd of 2018. So that's Stanton. Sanchez has his first multi-hit game of the season. So, I mean, it's just you're starting to see signs that this team is kind of turning the corner, and then you get another solid outing from Masahiro Tanaka. He gives you seven innings of three-run ball, and I think that's the best you can ask for from him. So, you know, you just want to be playing good baseball by the time the postseason rolls around, and I think the timing couldn't be more perfect for the Yankees.
You're talking about an eight-game winning streak where they've outscored their opponents 71-20.
They're plus 51 in an eight-game streak. That's insane. I mean, really, that's insane.
It's crazy.
They're scoring at will right now. Sports is so crazy, Rick, because last week, remember, they couldn't score a run. And now a week later, they're outscoring the opposition by 50 runs in an eight-game streak.
Yeah, but that's why, Dave, that's why the cliche, like, you know, defense, always rely on because defense shows up. Like, defense doesn't go into, like, you can control defense because it's a lot of it is effort. Like, that won't mm-hmm. go, like, offense will go into slumps. And the Yankees weren't whole. They were dealing with injuries. They were slumping. And now all of a sudden, I mean, not just the offense, too. I mean, you're talking about the starting pitching staff's been great, too. Like, it's all, like, it's right now at this moment, as we close in on the end of the season, things are starting to line up really well for the Yankees.
Yeah, so if I gave you money and said you got to bet it on one of these teams in the American League, where would you put your money on right now?
You'd have to put it on, I would have to say the Yankees.
Yeah, so would I.
I mean, as great as the White Sox have been, I still don't necessarily, in the playoffs, not having
seen
it. I
feel like Tampa's going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
I'm not saying
I would bet all my money on Tampa, but Tampa's going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
I don't disagree with you, but I would still if I'm asked to put money on a team,
yeah,
I would probably I would.
I think you're both right. I think Tampa's going to be a tremendously tough out in the playoffs, and I think I'd put my money on the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I mean, would I like to avoid Tampa in Tampa in a three game? Yeah,
I like the starting pitching from Tampa a little bit better.
Cole's been great. Here's what I will say, though. And you're right. I mean, you look at especially with how creative they are with their bullpen and everything else. Offensively, they do leave something to be desired, especially the way the Yankees are hitting baseball right now. But, again, great pitching can shut down great hitting.
Yep.
But when you look at how good Cole has been, and I give Kay credit because Kay actually went back and looked at how Cole was last year early on in the season, and they kind of matched up. With you know when he starts to get things figured out and he gets going, so he's if it's Higashio, whatever it is, like he's back to being Gerrit Cole. We've already seen Tanaka and what he's capable of doing in the playoffs.
Right, you trust him.
I love what I see from Davey Garcia, and then you got Jordan Montgomery, and you still got one of the better bullpens in baseball. And if you're gonna hit the baseball the way you're hitting the baseball right now, I mean, you may not have to worry about it.
Yeah, it becomes daunting. Well,
that's without Judge, too. I mean, what you did yesterday, too, is without Judge.
Right.
And the fact that Stanton got going and he starts to get his confidence, I mean, that's...
That's a good sign.
It's a great
sign. That's a really good sign.
But you see, this is the team that was 16-6 to start the season.
Yeah, they're back to that team.
They were just rolling, yeah.
They're back to that team. They had a great start, they had a horrendous middle, and they're having a great ending. And that... Listen, if I told you got to have one bad piece of your season, you take a bad middle, right? You'd like to get off to a good start because it gives you a little bit of leeway, and you want to finish strong so that you're in the right direction come playoffs.
Like,
and that's what they've done.
It's like a trip to Orchids of Asia.
I don't know
Stop. Stop.
You know exactly what that means.
Your mind is.
Have you seen his tentacles?
What that means? Crazy talk. 800-919-3776. Before we get to the NFL.
Oh my gosh.
Boy, it was Joe Burrow special last night.
Dude, do we have to talk about that? I don't want to hear. You're talking about the worst team in football. The Bengals had the first overall pick because they were the worst team in football. And they have better offensive weapons than the New York Jets. And
it's not even close.
Debatable.
It's not close.
But not even that, Rico. Forget about the weapons. Just the way that Joe Burrow looks in comparison to what Sam Darnold looks like. I mean, Joe Burrow is a cool customer, but I mean, he looks like he's in control and he has command of that offense.
Well, you guys are going out of order. We were going to talk about the Mets. The Mets, they kept their hopes alive. They win last night on the verge of completely being done.
Yeah, but don't. No, because this is what me and Canty are trying to avoid this, because you embarrass yourself yesterday. The Mets are done. I don't care that they came back and won.
The Mets are done. Come on. You know they're not going to go to the postseason.
I don't know that yet.
I think you dropped the gun a little bit on that
one. This bullpen's been locked down. This bullpen's locked down right now, Dave. Locked down. They make it interesting. No, they make it interesting. But that bullpen for the last two games has been great.
It's what I need to do to be able to survive. I need to think that they have no chance, and that's my mindset. And if they surprise me, then I'm okay.
Ah, the Mets.
I can't go into this and say that they have a real chance. I can't do it. I won't do it to myself.
They're a game and a half back.
I'm not doing it. I'm not, because I...
There's a real chance.
Not really.
Not really. Okay. All right.
What do you put their chances at? 18%? 15%?
They have a chance, Dave.
They have a chance.
They have a chance. Like, going into the last week of the regular season, you have a chance.
Here's the only thing.
Isn't that what you want?
Well, I mean, I would like to be comfortably in a playoff.
Yeah, I mean,
the
they should. More than half the league is making the playoffs,
well,
and they
the
have
Mets
a chance to get in.
It's never going
to
be comfortable. It's never going to be that simple. But you got a shot.
Yeah, but this is like prostate exam uncomfortable. Like, I wouldn't have been...
he's in the whole fist there, Doc.
Hey, but seriously, though.
I'm uncomfortable with the way that this show just turned.
Here's the only thing I will say that I am concerned about is Jacob DeGrom's hamstring.
Yep.
Because you're going to need him. And then Seth
Your
Lugo
schedule
has
is tough.
I forget the schedule, but Seth Lugo has to be better. I mean, he went an inning in 2/3 last night. To say he got roughed up is an understatement.
He didn't give you a shot, and your offense still found a way to overcome it.
You're just lucky the Phillies bullpen's terrible. I mean,
God, is that
they're brutal?
It makes the Mets bullpen look like the Yankees bullpen. That's how bad the Phillies are. How great is Dom Smith's season? Dom Smith is legitimately an MVP candidate. He has been he should get MVP votes. He has been sensational this year.
No, he's been great. I mean, Conforto's been great. I mean, McNeil's figured it out. You're having guys having good seasons. Jimenez has been a revelation, and you're still right now. That's what frustrates Mets fans, is that you should have enough talent to be better than you are. You're supposed to get, like, the whole adage is, you know, let's find a way to get more out of less. Not less. They find ways to get less out of more.
Yeah.
More than any team I've ever seen. Any team. You got the best pitcher in baseball. You had the rookie of the year. You had a guy looking for, beating down the door for a batting title. Like you just mentioned, Dom Smith.
You got two guys that legitimately could win MVP on this team. Really, Conforto and Dom Smith have real chances to win MVP, and right now you're on the outside looking in. So your ace has been sensational. You have two guys that are really on the verge of MVP consideration, and you're right now on the outside looking in of the postseason? That's not easy to do.
And this may be as good as Edwin Diaz is as a Met.
He's been good.
He's
been good lately.
He's been great. I mean, he's been really good lately. I mean, I don't need all the agita, though, with him.
Oh, my God. He makes nothing easy, huh?
Well, nothing. I mean, those last two innings. I mean, then Justin Wilson's got me a nervous wreck. I'm dealing with that. I got the football going on. Yesterday was like sensory overload.
Oh, it's so good, though. How good is it?
I was a nervous wreck. I'm trying to figure out who I'm picking today. Like, I got a month-old baby.
That's the easy part of your life now.
Yeah,
you
right.
got basketball, you got golf, you got football, you got hockey, you got elimination hockey. I mean, you got baseball, you got it all going on. This is a great time to be a sports
My
fan.
My head was spinning.
I'm sure.
I felt like the Boston Celtics in the third quarter last, just spinning. No idea what to do.
All right, now you're ready to wax poetic about Joe Burrow. I mean, how good is he? He two games in, no training camp, a team that stinks, an offensive line which is awful. The right tackle is a guy who couldn't even make the Giants offensive line in Bobby Hart, and he's still going out there and looking like that. He's going to be a star in this league.
Isn't that
Joey B is the goods, man. He's the real deal. Like I was saying that a minute ago. I mean, the kid has poise beyond his years, and the fact that he can go out there, drop back 61 times, and have three touchdowns and no interceptions. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, the guy was under the rest because you mentioned that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line is not the best. But the fact that the kid still finds a way to be able to make plays, I mean, that's what you're looking for. Like that fourth down conversion that he had, that throw to Tyler Boyd off the pick route from A.J. Green. Like the accuracy on that ball in order to give his guy a chance to keep it away from the defender. Like those are the small things that make a big difference in terms of a quarterback's overall success. And when you watch him play versus how Sam Darnold played up in Buffalo, it's night and day. in terms of the overall feel that you get and the comfort that the kid has with the system that he's running.
Yeah, they haven't beaten the confidence out of him yet. Like, I mean, the level of poise last night, over the first two games. I mean, no OTAs, no preseason.
Nothing.
Nothing. But isn't that case in point? And their offensive line stinks.
It stinks.
But isn't that case in point to anyone who wants to make the argument, well, the Jets' offensive line is going to be better, and, you know, Sam should be able to make the weapons he has better. No. That was case in point. Offensive line stinks, but because they actually have good wide receivers and a good running, good wide receivers, a good tight ends, unfortunately, looks like we have,
Zoma after the year probably.
Yeah, he blew his Achilles out. And you have a good running back. So it allows your young quarterback to actually make plays under duress, which he's...
But I will say this. The turning point in that game was the sack fumble by Myles Garrett. Because after Cincinnati has that goal line stance, it felt like the momentum had turned to the Bengals. And if Joe Burrow is able to put together their drive right there and score some points, I think the complexion of that game is different. So, I mean, the offensive line absolutely does matter. But, I mean, it doesn't give you the right to dismiss the performance or the production of the quarterback. Because, I mean, Joe Burrow still went out there and produced. He threw for over 300 yards.
Oh, he's great.
Like, you can tell, like, they got something in him in Cincinnati. He's their franchise quarterback. I mean, you know, Sam has shown it in moments. I mean, we saw it last year in that Dallas game. But, I mean, they're so few and far in between. And it's frustrating because you don't know exactly what to point to or who the culprit is. I guess you just have to look at the organization as a whole in terms of why we don't have a definitive answer on whether or not Sam's your guy.
It would frustrate me to no end if I was a Jets fan, Rick, and I watched this kid with no OTAs, no training camp, first game of the season, short week, right? We talked about that all the time. Second game of the season, look like that, and I'm year three of Sam Darnold, and I've seen, not a lot. Moments where I'm like, oh, he's going to be good, and a lot of moments where it doesn't come through. And I watched this kid, his second start, look like that, and lead his team down in his first start, for a potential game-winning touchdown, it would frustrate me. It really would if I was a Jets fan.
Oh, of course it frustrates you. I mean, watching both of those teams. I mean, watching what Kevin Stefanski did with Baker Mayfield yesterday, playing to his strengths, rolling him out, you know, realizing what he's good at and taking advantage of it. Yeah, it frustrates me. And what Chris said, I mean, I wasn't watching that game thinking that the Bengals were going to win it. In the fact that they, you know, did gain the momentum, he fumbles and, you know, it changes. That didn't take away from the fact that I think Joe Burrow, I mean, how good I thought Joe Burrow played in that game.
Rick, I know you say you weren't watching it, thinking that the Bengals were going to win it, but it was a fourth quarter game.
But you're making my point. No, I'm with you.
I'm getting your point. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals made it a fourth quarter game. They were competitive in both of the games they played this regular season with a rookie quarterback who had no OTAs and no preseason games. If he can look confident under those circumstances and the team can be competitive, knowing that Cincinnati, from a talent standpoint, leaves a little bit to be desired, then why aren't the Jets further along in their program with Sam Darnold in year three?
Exactly right.
No, I'm picking up what you're putting down, brother. You're absolutely right, which is why Jets fans should be infuriated with what Chris Johnson has done with this team.
I would be interested, too, to go back. I started to do it this morning. I started to get so aggravated. I can't do it. I would be interested to go back and look at that Maccagnan draft, in like the entire draft, and where players in different positions went, and see, you know, what Joe Douglas could have done if he had the ability to go through that entire draft, and how much that would have helped.
You're talking about last year's, not this one, but the year before?
The year before,
where they fired Maccagnan right after.
Yeah, have you seen? I mean, look at that draft outside of Quinnen Williams. It was, you might as well not even have a draft.
Well, you say Quinnen Williams, I mean, he, at the third pick, he leaves a lot to be desired right now, too.
Yeah, but the jury's still out on him. I mean, just right. In general. I mean, you find guys that can contribute in, you know, second, third, fourth rounds. And we got Maccagnan making picks. Like, I mean, the guy's not even in the NFL that he picked in the third round. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he say, I'm gonna, you know, take some risky picks and see if they, you know, boom or bust pick. Why are we taking, like, what are we doing here? And then you fire him. I don't get it. There's no excuse. There is no excuse to be the second year into Adam Gase's program and have the Jets look like they looked in week one and have Joe Burrow, new system, no nothing, like no preparation for a
like
normal
that.
Rookie season and
look like that.
On the road in Cleveland in a must-win
short
game
week.
For Cleveland.
On a short week.
There's awful. No excuse for it.
You're right. 800-919-3776. Now, let me see if I have this correct. We're going to do a frenzy at 9:30, correct?
Correct.
And then we got RJ Bell at 10, Feinbaum 10:30.
I was actually thinking too, and this is not me just being like looking out for my, this is not me being selfish, because you know how much anxiety I get with the picks.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually thinking about our listeners. Like, it's fun, you know, us going against each other. Chris had to, you know, if you want to call that swimming with sharks, it would look more like.
He swam with sharks?
It was swimming with sharks.
He paid off his debt.
It was too enjoyable. You know, it was too enjoyable. That was like he was with Jacques Cousteau.
But that wasn't his fault.
Exploring the ocean.
We didn't realize they would be like playful sharks.
They were docile. They were all drugged up.
They weren't playful sharks. The sharks just had never seen anything like me.
That's probably also
6'8", 340 pounds. What is this doing down here? What
keep
is
to your side, Stephen. Keep to your side.
Come on, man. So here's what I was thinking.
Here's the thing, Dave. The anxiety was worse than the actual
Chris,
event.
I don't look down on you for doing it. I not even a little bit. I have tremendous respect. I would have been terrified. I take my hat off to you. He's the one giving me a hard time.
Yes.
I'm just saying the payoff. I wanted to see more. Like, I wanted frenzied sharks. I wanted.
It's not Chris's fault, though.
I get that. It's not. I'm not blaming Chris. I'm blaming the aquarium. Is what I'm doing.
Okay.
And then we haven't had your payoff yet. What I'm saying is, maybe we change what we do because we got RJ on and he's doing his competition. Not a competition. It's you know, Chris has his three picks and then RJ they come up with their best pick. Maybe what we do is as a show. We come up with like our three best bets to try to help people that listen to the show make money as opposed to all making different picks.
No, I don't like that.
I like it.
You don't think the listeners like
that? I like
that
it.
More?
I'm all about
trying
to help
make
people
money.
Make money.
I'm all about trying to take help our make selections money. And try to make money.
Yeah, but they're all over the place, our selections. We don't pick the same games. So now they're all confused. Well, I mean, who do I like? I mean, Dave likes this game, Chris likes this game, Rick likes this game. There's too much confusion.
So our better is now done?
No, it doesn't. It's a suggestion. I'm putting it in the suggestion box.
All right.
Maybe people would like that better. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I understand what you're saying.
Could you imagine if we start going on a run, we're hitting two out of every three, and people are just making handfuls of cash?
Well, you'd have to start gambling your face off if that was the case. I'd have to unretire.
You know, I would make bets for you. We'd have Chris make, but he's in Jersey. He'd have to make Chris make
That's
bets
right.
for us.
Yeah, I don't have a problem doing that at all. I'll facilitate you guys' greatness.
See, and I appreciate that. I'm just
I like
out
the
there.
Idea of trying to make our listeners some money, though. I'm with Rick on that one. I think that's something we should do. RJ and I'll come up with our best bet of the week, and then as a show, we come up with our best bet of the week. That's two games that our listeners can check out, and if they have confidence in us and they can get in on the action and make some coin, I'm with it.
I don't feel like we're not utilizing RJ Bell to his fullest. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we should be.
We got to put RJ to work.
It's what I mean. Let's be honest. It's what Coward does with. I mean, he does his Blazing Five. That's all. Those are sent to RJ Bell, and he approves them. Like that. That's. I mean, we got to use RJ Bell, man. He's one of the best. He went. What did he go? 4 for 5 in week one.
4-1. Yeah.
Yeah. With no preseason.
Yeah, he's terrific.
The dude's legit.
Yep. He'll join us at 10:00. All right. Let's go to Ira, Staten Island. Ira, lead us off. I know you're in a great mood on a Friday on 98.7.
Hey. Good morning, fellas. How are you? And Dave, all the best. You and your family, a happy and a healthy new year.
Thank you very much.
Out there. You know, I tell you, every pass he completed last night, Burrow, I got a pain in my stomach. It was, like you said, no OTAs, no offseason, and he goes out there after 5 weeks of some type of camp and he performs like that. You know what? Cleansing of the new year, maybe I was wrong. You know, I was hoping Sam would elevate what's around him. But you know what? They
Ira, what's around him? What are you talking? Well, see, this is what frustrates me. What's around him?
Well, that let me. I was wrong. I thought that maybe they would just have enough where you know you'd be able to judge this guy. You can't. After what I saw, what Burrow played last night, and the pieces he had around him, you can't even compare the Bengals and the Jets right now. So, I really, quite honestly, I have no idea how you could possibly analyze Sam's progression this year in the next step, because the offensive line, we'll see if it's going to be better. Hopefully it is, but everything around him, Perriman, you know, he is what he is. Mims, listen, it's not their fault he got hurt, but let's face it. You know, is a rookie really going to step in and perform right away? Probably not. And the running backs, you know, we knew what the situation was going to be. So, I was more upset with the Bengal-Brown game last night than I was with the Jets' performance last Sunday, because it really opened my eyes at how they put Sam in a really bad position. And you know what? Right now, Burrow is light years ahead of Donald.
It's not close, Ira. Like, if I said to you, you could have Burrow, you could have Darnold right now, no one would even have to think about it. It's clear as day.
And if you remember, Dave, when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones, I tried to talk you off the ledge. I told you this kid has something, just from people who told me, not that I watched Duke football. I mean, his mechanics and everything about him, he's ahead of Darnold right now, too. You know, hopefully it was just a bad game last week, but let's see what he does. Let's analyze him after four games, and we'll see where he's at. But Burrow's really impressed last night. I got to give the Bengals credit.
Yep, good call. Thanks, and happy New Year, Ira. We appreciate it. And it's frustrating, and he's right. I mean, to watch him last night do what he did, and to watch Sam Darnold do what he did, they feel like, Rick, that they're light years apart right now.
Yeah, I don't even think. I mean, where Sam is going into year three, I mean, to where, you know, Joe Burrow is 2 weeks into the season. I mean, it's scary. I mean, in all honesty, it's scary. It shouldn't look the way it looked.
Yes. You're right.
It shouldn't.
I mean, there's no discussion, analysis. It's got to be frustrating to any NFL fan, especially in Jets.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
And here we go, 800-919-3776, at Rothenberg ESPN on Twitter. Getting flooded with questions on Twitter. Good job, everyone. All right, you guys ready to roll?
Let's do it, Dave.
All right, Peter 64, is Joe Burrow a top 10 quarterback in the league right now?
No.
No. No, that's aggressive, no.
Tell you what, if you were selecting quarterbacks, you'd take him in your top 10, though, of all quarterbacks in the league.
To start a team with?
Just right, if I said right now, yes. Age is a factor. You're taking 10 quarterbacks. He'd go in the top 10.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're probably right.
100%.
With age involved?
If age is involved?
Yeah. If you're going to factor in age.
Sure. You take him over Aaron Rodgers, right?
I don't know about that.
No? Yeah, exactly. When you frame it that way, Dave, I can't say yes.
I don't know about that.
Come on, he's 23. No, Rodgers went 36.
He's played two games.
Oh, but the potential of that kid is out of this world.
Okay, let's go to potential.
Yeah.
But okay. Aaron Rodgers still has he's got at least 4 or 5 years left. Can I win in 5 years?
It depends on if I'm the coach or the general manager. If I'm the coach, I'm probably taking Aaron Rodgers. If I'm the GM, I'm probably taking Joe Burrow.
Let's go to Chris in Jersey. Chris, you're first up on the frenzy. Have at it.
I liked how the Giants looked against a good defense last week. Do we get to 8 wins?
No. I mean, if the Giants get to 8 wins, Canty, Joe Judge has done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, Dave, I picked them to get to 8 wins. I mean, I had the Giants going 7-9, 8-8. Now, listen, I'm not saying that they have an easy schedule. I mean, Chicago is probably their easiest game in the first four. So, I mean, this is going to be a tough role for them if they were going to get to that point. But I think the Giants are going to be a lot more competitive than people think, man. I really do. I see the Giants as a 7-9, 8-18.
Be a great job by Judge. And this organization clearly would take a step in the right direction. Rob wants to know, do you believe that the Saints can win the Super Bowl, Rick?
Do I believe the Saints can win the Super Bowl? They got a good defense. The only concern would be I didn't love how the offense and Drew Brees looked in week one.
Yeah, but you know what? They're creative.
Yeah, they're creative. But if you have, I mean, if I don't care how creative you are, if you have limitations at the quarterback position, especially as he wears down through the season, I mean, there was some benefit to him missing 5 games last year to being as fresh as he was, and they didn't get to the Super Bowl. So
yeah, let's see how creative they are without Michael Thomas.
Yeah, get creative, baby.
Sounds like he might play.
I just saw this morning there's a very slim chance that he plays. I believe the quote was a glimmer of hope that he plays against the Raiders.
I'll take some hope.
All right. Uncle AQ, this is an interesting topic. And if you guys remember, we actually had this conversation during our days of looking for things to talk about, early stages pandemic. Should the Giants trade Saquon Barkley if they can get fair value in return?
I don't think they will.
Should they?
Should they? I don't know. I would like to see what happens as we get further along in the season.
No, They shouldn't trade Saquon Barkley.
He's a foundational piece, man.
Yeah, the offense is the identity of the team. You're trying to develop a young quarterback. I'm not going to take a playmaker away from him and turn Daniel Jones into Sam Darnold. I'm not going to do that.
And plus, Saquon Barkley's paying the price now for you guys trading Odell in the first place. He'd have a whole hell of a lot easier time running the football if Odell was still his wide receiver.
You're absolutely right about that. How good did he look last night, by the way? Ooh,
he looked
terrific. He can finally run.
He should have had two touchdowns. That was a holding call.
How do they not call? I don't understand. How do they miss that? I mean, it was the referee was right there, and it was plain as day. How do they miss him tugging on the back of his jersey?
Maybe at the angle that the ref was at, he couldn't
must
see
be,
it.
Right?
It has to be the angle of it. But, I mean, Odell looked phenomenal yesterday.
He did look
good.
That
double move was special.
He's a talented receiver. Pat Verona. Pat, you're on the frenzy.
Wondering if you think the Patriots are playing Cam Newton that style to eventually run him into the ground just to Bart Stedham out there and have him forget about Brady.
No. Bill Belichick's trying to win football games. You're talking about an offensive coordinator that when he was the head coach of the Denver Broncos drafted Tim Tebow. Like, this is an offense that you see where the NFL is going, right? I mean, now you have the opportunity after 20 years to have a mobile quarterback like Cam Newton. That's part of who Cam Newton is. There's no sense in trying to protect him at this point. You're not paying him any money and you're trying to win. So you're going to get the best out of him, which involves him running the football.
If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Ran the ball 42 times against the Dolphins. Yeah. 42 times.
That's what you're going to see. Heavy dose of again this weekend, I think, in Seattle. Fat Guy Strong wants to know, do you see the Jets moving the ball down the field with Gore this Sunday?
Was that a serious question?
Moving the ball down the field, period.
That's a serious question?
I don't see them moving the ball down the field, period.
Justin Ned says, "Do the Falcons beat the Cowboys this week?" I'll tell you what, if there's a God in heaven, they do. How good would it be if this team started out?
You are the worst.
If the Falcons beat the Cowboys, the Cowboys will not be going to the playoffs.
Oh,
they won't be going to the playoffs.
That would be so good.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do?
They got Seattle in Seattle after this game this week.
What am I trying to do? I'm trying to will the Cowboys to not go to the postseason.
Are you trying to make Ray Santiago hate you? I mean,
no,
I don't know
where
we're at.
We already have this give and take when it comes to the Cowboys and the Giants. He takes shots at Eli. I make fun of the Cowboys. We have a very happy understanding.
It sounds like a lot of giving from you and a lot of taking from Ray.
Oh, he gives it plenty. Plenty. Gary Gano.
Who gives it more?
Wow.
Gary Gano says, does Gase make it through the year?
No. No.
Canty's ready to fire. Canty's ready to get rid of him now.
You would, yeah. Chris. You can't stand Adam Gase.
Yeah, I think Adam Gase is gone. You're probably talking about week 12 after the bye. He's gone. How fitting would that be? After a game in Miami getting fired.
just pack up and stay in Miami here. Let's go to John and Queens.
And even worse, Canty, 11's probably closed, too, so you can't even go drink your, you know.
What's up, John? Go ahead. You're on the frenzy.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking the call.
You know what? Let's let him slide because it is week. Santiago cut him off. I would have let him get
it. This is your fault. But this is your fault.
How is it my fault?
Well, it's your fault because now Santiago's not gonna. He's not gonna even listen to what you say. You're dead to him now. For the rest of the show, the only guy in the studio, you've pissed off to the point where he's completely tuned
what
you
am up. I? He knows my detest for the Cowboys. What does he want me to do? He knows how I feel. He feels the same way about the Giants.
Does not make it okay, sir.
Oh, stop being a baby. All right, Basket Brawl wants to know, do you think the Giants have a real chance to win this game on Sunday?
Yes, I do. And the primary reason is I don't trust Mitch Trubisky. I think Mitch Trubisky is turnover prone, and who we saw in the fourth quarter of that Lions game ain't who he really is. So, yeah, I think the Giants can go up to Soldier Field and pull the upset off.
Be great.
Because you got to imagine, Saquon Barkley's not going to have many games where he's held to what? 6 yards on 15 carries? That's not going to happen.
There better be only one of those, Chris.
That's what I'm saying. That's not going to happen. So if Saquon gets more involved in the offense and Daniel Jones repeats the performance that he had last week minus the bonehead plays, there's a very real chance that the Giants beat the Bears this weekend.
All right, Rick Sonic Jackson wants to know, if Adam Gase is fired after the season, the perfect coach for the Jets would be?
The perfect coach for the Jets would be Eric Bieniemy.
There you go. There you go.
I agree.
He's the guy.
Be perfect.
Yeah, he's the guy.
It would be perfect.
Well, I mean, I think a coach like that would get the best out of what Sam Darnold is good at. Like, Sam Darnold is an athletic kid that can move around in the pocket. Like, he's at his best when he's moving around in the pocket. Like, when he's moving, you know, when he's on the move, he's at his best. Like, just like what you saw from Baker last night. Like, Baker's better like that. I mean, you watch that first game. I mean, you got, they're on the left hash. This is early in the game. You wonder why your quarterback can't get into a rhythm. He's on the left hash, and they ask him to stand there and throw the ball all the way across the field to his right outside the numbers. Like, are those the throws you want your quarterback to make early in the game to get into a rhythm? No.
No.
Stupid.
No.
Then I got third and seven. I got third and nine. Give the kid a chance at least.
You put him
you want hitches, you want slants, you want in-breaking routes to get your quarterback going. That's
Ken
what you
and
want.
Merrick, you're next up on the frenzy.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Did you say that the Raiders came out on top of the Khalil Mack trade or the Bears?
I think it's still to be decided.
See, here's the thing. If the Bears had a quarterback, I would say the Bears. They don't have a quarterback. That's the biggest problem with the Bears. It's not the defensive side of the ball. Khalil Mack has held up his end of the bargain. I mean, that's a championship-caliber defense.
I think a lack of a quarterback shut their defense down last year for them.
Yes.
It absolutely did. Because look at how good that defense was 2 years ago.
If we got a guy that can't play.
That defense 2 years ago was you know, top three in football. And last year they just knew. You can't win with this guy.
I'm almost sensing that you two both like the Giants and the points.
I do.
Not only do I like the Giants and the points, I think the Giants are going to win this game outright.
Whoa.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. They're one of my games.
I actually thought they showed a lot on Monday night. I really did.
Yeah, that was a winnable game.
I mean, they were right there.
Yeah, they competed.
You were 2 minutes left in the third quarter. You said the Giants have a real chance to win this game. It's a pretty good job against a really good team in Pittsburgh. Fast Frank wants to know, for $100,000, we'll all take this question, would you not watch football for the rest of the season?
No.
Is that tax-free?
Tax-free, cash.
No. I could.
I
Sunday's
football,
the only thing
man.
To get me through
I
the week.
I love football.
Yeah, I wouldn't even.
Love football.
I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
No. What else do I have at this point to get? I mean, what else is getting you through the week at this point?
I mean, you like the golf?
No, I like the golf, but I mean, I'm not. Golf starts, you know, on a Thursday. I'm not having, you know, this big, you know, pregame experience for golf with pizza and everything else. Like, I'm not
sitting like
here.
A football Sunday, man. It really isn't anything like it.
They're holidays.
It's nothing like it.
They are little mini weekly holidays. It is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, man.
It is the best. All right, Santi, if you're still listening to me, you can blow this frenzy dead.
Dave, you want to hear the funniest thing, too?
Yeah.
So, I mean, your kids are older, so they'll actually sit and watch games with you. So I'm trying to, like, Milo's slowly getting to the point where he's, like, more and more interested. But he's got the attention span like a gnat. Like, he'll watch for a couple seconds. But his new thing now is, like, I'll be watching it. He'll watch it for a second, then leave, go do something, and come back. And he'll be like, hey, so, Dad, looks like the Mets are winning, huh? As if he's been watching the whole time.
That's great. So he just walks by, catches a glimpse, and then there's conversation for him to have with you.
Yeah, yeah. He'll see the score and notice that the Mets are winning. He goes, oh, so Dad, huh? Mets are winning, huh?
Want
to talk about it?
Dad, the Mets bullpen blew another one. You want to talk about that?
That Edwin Diaz, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Nothing better.
They are funny. Really, you know what happened to me yesterday, by the way?
No, what happened?
I got stung by a bee.
Oh, no.
Oh, it hurt.
Where were you that you got stung by a bee?
Ben was in the cage hitting, and I was sitting there watching, and all of a sudden, I feel this sharp pain on my hand.
Ugh.
Cursed in anger, swelled up, and then I had this moment of, oh, I don't know if I'm allergic to bees. I've been stung since I'm a little kid.
Did you pee on it?
On the bee?
No, and you're supposed to pee on the sting?
Oh, I don't know about that. I went home and I iced it.
That's a jellyfish thing, I think.
I iced it, and then I put it in hot water. I didn't know if the stinger was in there. I had a complete meltdown. Complete meltdown. Well, because then it becomes psychological. I'm like, is my tongue getting bigger? Is my throat closing up? I got nervous.
Sherry probably wishes your tongue got bigger.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. I can't even talk about a bee sting without you going here, huh?
It's a Friday, man. It's been a long week.
There's nowhere I can go. Nowhere. Chris, you know what? Nowhere is safe.
But you know that with Rick already, Dave.
I didn't think a bee sting would lead to this.
But that's a you problem. That's your fault.
I told you. I got problems, man. I need to seek help.
You're nice. All right, we'll get to Andy from Merrick in just a moment. Chris, you and I are both on the same page. I like the Giants to not only cover but win this game outright. Let's get your analysis. Why? What about the Giants-Bears matchup do you favor with the Giants? Why do you think they win this game?
Well, here's the thing. I think the Giants can be stout against the run up front, especially runs in between the tackles. And if you listen to everything coming out of Chicago, Matt Nagy is intent on having Mitch Trubisky operate more under center so they can try to get that run game going, but also be able to slow down the pass rush. I think as far as the interior runs go, the Giants defense is going to be pretty stout. If you can create some wins on first and second down and force Chicago in third and longs, then that's where it's advantage Giants, because Chicago last week was 2 of 11 on third downs, and that's coming off of a season in 2019 where they were 18% on the money down. So that was the worst in the NFL. I think this Giants defense has the potential to put this Bears defense in a lot of third and long situations, and if that happens, I feel really good about the Giants' chances of being able to pull off the upset.
And you got to figure, Rick, that Barkley's, I mean, just by walking out onto the field, is going to have a better game on Sunday than he did on Monday night.
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, you would imagine, right? I mean, Pittsburgh's D did an unbelievable job of shutting him down. I mean, and that was clearly, you heard after the game from Mike Tomlin, that was the game plan. Don't let Saquon Barkley beat us. He's the catalyst. And I thought Daniel Jones had a good game outside that bad decision. And then over in the goal line, which, I mean, after 19 plays, you got to score points there. But, I mean, I'll be interested to see that the most is, you know, as Daniel Jones continues to progress, and, you know, you get Golden Tate back, and then, you know, Slayton continues to do what he does. You know, can defenses afford to pay that much attention to Saquon? Because, you know, Daniel Jones is able to make you pay in the passing game.
I'll tell you what, and he's a big part of this offense. Evan Engram's got to show up.
Has to be.
I mean, he was brutal on Monday night. He wasn't just non-existent. He was a detractor. He was actually bad in the game on Monday night.
Yeah, he's got to step up. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. But, I can already tell with, you know, the friends of mine, including yourself, that are Giants fans, they're starting to get real frustrated with him.
Real frustrated. Well, because think about it. You look at him and you think he's so talented. Half the time, he's injured and doesn't play.
He's Gary Sanchez.
A quarter of the time, he just plays poorly, and then you get those glimpses where you're like, oh, my God, look how good he can be. Like that Tampa game where he makes that catch 15 yards across the middle and takes it to the house. Like, the potential is there. We just don't see it happen enough.
Yeah, but that's how he's going to contribute. Him, I mean, he's a glorified wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver.
Not, he doesn't want to block, and he's not good at blocking. So if he's not catching passes and helping you out that way, he's not. Yep. I mean, what's the benefit?
He's a wide receiver. You're right. All right, let's go. Here's our guy. Friday, I imagine there are going to be football questions. Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. It is, in fact, a football Friday. In fact, after last night's Battle of Ohio, I have four Bengals/Browns questions for you.
Okay.
Starting with this Monday, September 21st, will be the 50-year anniversary of the first ever Monday night game in which the Browns won 31-21.
Jets.
Over which team?
Jets.
Wow. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, Dave. Nicely done.
That's one.
It's about right.
When the Cleveland Browns reappeared in 1999, which quarterback was their first ever draft pick?
I'm gonna let Rick answer this because he's making fun of me. Go ahead.
Okay, he was right.
Tim Couch.
Tim Couch, big man, come through.
Right.
Let's go to the Bengals. Which head coach has the most career wins for those Cincinnati Bengals?
Ooh, Is it Marvin Lewis?
It is Marvin Lewis.
There you go.
Three boys. Team effort hanging here. All right, bonus question. Who holds the Bengals record for the most career rushing yards with over 8,000?
Corey Dillon.
Bang!
I am the smartest man alive!
That was beautiful.
That was what
we just did. Was...
Guys, you were red hot today. Have a good weekend. Stay healthy.
Now, that was dominant. And everybody chipped in. That was a sensational effort and job by the three of us.
That was a full team effort.
Yeah.
I mean, that was contributions throughout the lineup.
It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The RJ Bell Report brought to you by Resorts World Catskills Casino. All right. If we're not very poetic about his knowledge and abilities when we bring him on, he pouts. So let the great, the wonderful, the effervescent, the sensational one, Robert Jerome Bell. Good morning, RJ. How are you?
That's incorrect. And sarcasm doesn't cut it, Dave. That's it. I'm done. That's as good as I'm going to do.
You know what? I thought Robert Jerome was as good a guess as any. So
let's just say RJ Barrett. There's no RJ in that name.
All right.
That's true.
let's get to it. So firstly, before we even start here, 4-1 in the Super Contest. I mean, yep. You must be thrilled at that start, huh?
You know, no. 5-0 was the goal, and we were at 5-0 or 4-0 until, well, I'll just say Mr. Canty's Giants pick. Ugh, that's what swung me.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? 4-0, and he swung me.
You're a Steelers guy, too, which makes no sense.
Yeah, but I got to be honest. I'm a pessimist with this Steelers team. But
I am,
they
too.
Look pretty good.
They look really good. Their defense looked unbelievable in that game.
Let me ask a quick question about the Giants. People I respect say defense actually didn't play so bad. I mean, like, looking at the tape, what do you think?
Totally agree.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think the defense flew around last Monday night. They made some plays. I just think that the turnovers from the Giants' offense put them in some tough spots.
No doubt. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say the turnover that swung the momentum for good was that one on the goal line. Daniel Jones on the 19th play of the drive throws it up for grabs and Cam Hayward picks it off. Like, I think that's when the Giants' defense gave up the ghost.
Yeah, and to me, if you look at it, three rookie coaches, 0-3 straight up, 0-3 against the spread. And if you look at the coaching matchups and say who's the better coach, they won a big chunk of those games. I think it's coaching is so key in the COVID situation.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, we got a lot of questions. All right, a lot of questions. Let's start with the Giants because Chris and I both like them. They're getting 5.5. It's in Chicago. Bears won, but I didn't think it looked great by any stretch. Like we said, Giants looked pretty good. Barkley was awful, and they were still very competitive against a better team than they'll see this week. I know you're going to probably disagree. Do you concur, though? Do you like the Giants getting the points in this game?
I love it. And here's I like it. Here's an approach that always works. Look at the games that could have went either way and look to fade the team that won or play on the team that lost. So Chicago could have easily lost that game. They could have lost that game handily. Now, what would this line be if that had happened? This line might be 4, 4.5. So to me, the value here is on the Giants because Giants lost in front of the world. And the Bears had this amazing comeback. And now there's Trubisky. Oh, maybe he's got momentum. No, I'm not anxious to bat first-year coaches yet. But still, I'd certainly like the Giants here.
RJ, let me ask you a question. So in week one, we did our picks. And after what I saw in that Kansas City-Houston game, I said to myself, I'm gonna since we haven't seen any preseason, I'm going to favor teams that can actually run the football. So I picked Tennessee. They end up screwing because, you know, their kickers just had a bad night. I mean, is that something I should still look at when I'm trying to make my picks here in week two?
I love it because if you look at it, the number of attempts and the number of yards gained rushing are the attempts are like three of the high. If it extended for the entire year, it'd be like as high as any year in like 20 years. And same thing with the number of yards. I think running quarterbacks especially are valuable. You look at Belichick, he usually leads the way. And what happened? Cam, it's almost like a college offense. And to me, the offenses that were willing to simplify did so much better than the ones that weren't. And I think looking at Tampa Bay, for example, didn't seem to simplify and obviously struggled.
RJ, that's why you're the best in the business. I love you leading me into my next question because I was going to ask you about that primetime Sunday night matchup between the Pats and the Seahawks. I mean, the Pats ran the ball 42 times against the Dolphins, and they have a running quarterback. And we saw Bill Belichick simplify things on the offensive end. How do you see that game? Because I'm on the fence about which way I should go with that matchup with the Seahawks laying 4 points.
Well, let me ask you guys, how do we account for Belichick's mother passing away? Because I
have no idea, RJ.
It can't be nothing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that I think it's such a big X factor. And obviously, you know, condolences to him and his family. But looking at the game, he's the type you think it's not going to affect very much, but I think it affects anybody. I think that I can't bet against the Pats ever, really. If you look at it from 2003 on, 60% against the spread, and literally the best other team, the number two team, is 55%. It's just shockingly good. And we talk about this all the time, but it bears repeating. Every other coach in the NFL, their stats and their wins correlate, meaning in the long run. So let's look at the Dallas Cowboys last year. They had great stats, 8-8 record. In the long run, that's supposed to even up, right, over two decades. The Patriots are the only team, they outperformed their stats again and again, and it's because Belichick's doing things we can't even quantify with stats. We don't even know what he's doing, so we can't even say what stats should matter. Vegas, it's the one coach that befuddles us, and how do you bet against that? But I don't want to bet against Seattle because Russell Wilson, they let him throw the ball so much more than they had in the past years. If that continues, I think that upgrades Seattle greatly. The propensity to pass, they've been running and waiting until they fall behind. If Seattle throws from ahead, Russell Wilson, I think it's a huge edge for them throughout the season. I'm passing the game.
All right, the great R.J. Bell, Randall James, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Niners open up as a four-point favorites. Everyone is putting lots of money on San Francisco. That's up to a seven number right now. I'd like to ask you about the locals. Certainly we got into the Giants. Let me get into the Jets. Where do you lean here? Do you lean Niners traveling cross-country off a tough loss, or do the Jets have some fight after a putrid week one?
I think they're going to play hard. I don't know if it matters. And I say this as, you know, a New York fan in general of the city, but I've been, again, you know, I've been a skeptic of Sam Darnold for, what, a year and a half maybe? And I kept hearing about this and that and mono and ghost. And one day it's like, when's this guy going to play? And I heard the tape guys talk, and Greg Cosell specifically, saying he's making the same mistakes again and again. And in a third year, you just usually at that point, if they're not fixed, they don't get fixed. I don't think it's impossible Darnold becomes the 16th best quarterback in the NFL one day. I don't see it better than that. And I got to wonder about this team's morale. You know, Le'Veon Bell out. And in general, I am not going to be betting the Jets. But what the Jets do well is defend the run. San Fran wants to run. I actually have bet already the under in this game. I'm interested what you guys think of that.
So the under's 41.5?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes, currently.
It's hard to see the Jets scoring a lot of points in this game. So
yeah, and
like
I think
that right off the jump.
And San Francisco's banged up at the wide receiver position too.
No doubt. And, you know, they signed Sanu, but you can't expect much from him so soon, I wouldn't think.
Right, and Kittle's banged up as well.
Yeah, under.
Under.
I wonder what kind of number I get. What kind of number do you get if your mom looks like Mickey Rourke? What does that mean? What does that do with the points?
You walk up to the teller, you're like, listen, I'd like the Niners minus the seven, but do I get a break because my mother looks like Mickey Rourke? It doesn't work like that.
This is what I'm dealing with. RJ, let me ask you, from what you've seen in week one, so you got a team, and you mentioned a team that, you know, maybe lost in week one that, you know, is looking to bounce back in week two. What are your thoughts about Philly? Because they're at home against the Rams. It's a short number. Do you trust Philly or no?
I think I'm going to diversify my best bets this week. I had the Jags on Mr. Michael Kay's show, and I'm actually coming off them a little bit. I mean,
really?
I still like it, but I don't like it as much. And let me see my other choices here, because I might just go, yep. One second.
Take your time.
Okay. No, I'm just thinking. All right. I'll take the steak and eggs. No, I'm going to go with the Eagles here, +1 as my best bet.
Wow. This is on our show, your best bet of the week, the Eagles +1?
And here's why. Because guys like you, I call them Barney at the bar. You're like, what? The Eagles? They looked horrible last week. Ah, that's the point. You're never as bad as you look. And keep in mind, this is a team They got Johnson back on the line, and they had I don't remember his name.
Miles Sanders back too.
With the cramps. Okay, so you got two linemen back, based upon, quite frankly, looking horrible with those four effectively linemen out. You get two back, and now the Rams. Think about it. On Monday Night Football or on Sunday Night, looked as good as you can get in front of the world. Eagles looked as bad as you can get in front of the world. That's almost a default bet. But then you add in the fact that, let's think about Goff. Where does he struggle? If the defensive line can get pressure and make him throw quick. Now, all quarterbacks none of them like that, but some really struggle with it. Goff is one of them. D-line for Philly played really well last week. And then additionally, you look at the Eagles with the health and the O-line getting better. Plus, and remember, this game was Eagles favored by 4 when this opened.
It's been a huge swing, huh?
That's where the value is. Overreaction, Eagles +1.
RJ, I want to ask you about the Cowboys-Falcons game because I'm thinking about getting involved in that. I'm not going to say it's a must-win because I don't think you can have a must-win in September, but I think it's a can't-lose for both teams for different reasons. When you look at the Falcons, I mean, Dan Quinn is coaching for his job. And with the Cowboys, it's championship or bust under McCarthy. And I don't know a lot of championship teams that start out 0-2. I'm leaning toward Cowboys, but how do you see this matchup?
This is one of the most shocking lines I've seen in a while. Now, let's think about this. Dallas, their over-under win total for the season was 10. All right, and the over-under for Atlanta was 7. All right, so literally, Dallas was like the 6th highest win total in the league, and Atlanta was well below average, right? 7-8 average, right? 7. And now the line in this game, now let's account for the limited home field. Yes, it's 4.5. So let's call the home field 2. So you're saying 2.5 points Dallas is better than Atlanta, and Atlanta looked horrible. Atlanta's defense is as bad as it gets. Dak's looking to get off the schneid. I really like Dallas here. It feels too obvious, but I really like Dallas.
All right, let me ask you this. And R.J. Bell, Robert Jr. Bell joins us here, 98.7 ESPN, as he does every Friday, 10 o'clock. Is it normal, or is it kind of the times that we're in that the spreads change so much? So I'm looking here, R.J., on pregame.com, your great site. We talk about the Rams were 4. Now it's they were +4. Now they're giving 1, so it's a 5-point swing. Right, you have the Cowboys open at 7, now it's down to 4. Niners open at 4, now it's up to 7. Is that normal? Like, are these huge jumps because of what's going on, or is this normal during a regular season?
Two things. One, this year they had week 2 up for quite a while. So week 1 usually comes out in like June, and then the line moves happen month after month after month. So you just get bigger line moves, and obviously there's more news that comes out where, you know, quarterbacks get hurt, et cetera, thus big line moves week 1 from the openers. This week, week 2 was up a couple weeks ago, so there's been that much time. But remember, if there's any week of the NFL, maybe ever, that rightfully caused a reevaluation of how good these teams are, is week 1 last week. Why? COVID is unlike anything we've ever seen. The lack of prep time. And, oh, look, this team did great. This team did horribly. I don't want to overreact, but you've got to account for these games more than any. Think about it. Week 12 of a normal season, the game doesn't tell you hardly anything, hardly most games. But this game, I think it tells you a ton.
RJ Bell joins us here on the show. RJ, last one for me. You know, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I mean, he looked unbelievable in week 1. They're going up at home against the Lions. What are your feelings on this game, Packers giving 6?
I love the Lions, and now I'm backing off just a little. And the reason being, and again, I do really respect the guys that watched the All-22, and the take was, oh, Aaron Rodgers looked outstanding. Now, I know you could say, look at the stats, look at the results last week, look at the points. But sometimes quarterbacks play, you know, like Brady, for example, the word is, other than the interception or two, which again is a big mistake, he played pretty well, right? Where it wasn't a catastrophe. Though it's interesting and amazing, 43-year-old year. So, you know, the year that you're 43 as a quarterback in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, there's been one quarterback to win a game. Vinny Testaverde. No other quarterback has ever won a game 43 or older in the NFL history. So as much as we're saying, oh, Brady's going to be okay, we truly are in uncharted territory. Now, Brady is, I think, uncharted with his health. So just touching on that game quickly, doubling back here, I think the Lions, again, imagine if that game had gone same flip side with the Bears, right? If the Lions win that game by 14 like they easily could have, what's this line? Because remember, the Lions had a surge in support to win the division. They were 9-1 to win the division. It closed about 4-1. So a lot of action on the Lions. And I think in general, you got a team that's got to be focused. I don't think they've given up yet. And the Lions, and I think, let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers tends to have intermittent effort levels, right? He's a guy that's so talented that historically it's been hit or miss. We're getting a touchdown or 6.5 now. At 7, I certainly will be betting the Lions.
RJ, in true company man fashion, I'm going to ask you about the Monday night game on ESPN, Saints visiting the Raiders. It's a 5.5. The Saints are laying the 5.5. I wasn't impressed with the Saints' offense, and now with the banged up Michael Thomas, I don't know about this one. How do you see this game playing out?
Michael Thomas in Vegas is one of three players that are non quarterbacks that are worth 1.5. So no one else is worth more. One of the three most valuable players.
What are the other two?
McCaffrey from Carolina. And amazingly, Aaron Donald, defensive player. That sounds right, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It's just surprising you'd have a defensive player worth 1.5.
Well, I mean, he disrupts the entire.
He's great.
He is the defensive player.
Yeah, no doubt. So to me, I actually like the Raiders here. Now, I'm a little apprehensive about it, and here's why. Carolina was the worst possible COVID team. With a new coach, a DC who had never coached in the NFL, 8 new defensive starters, new quarterback. I mean, it was like the full Monty. And somehow they, you know, that Raiders pick last week or Raiders odds went from the Raiders getting points on the road to laying 3, 3.5 at different points. And they just covered the spread. But man, it felt lucky kind of. But the reason the Saints, I don't want to bet here and I want to bet the Raiders, is with Thomas out. Wide receiver, the line hasn't really moved. And it's really like everyone's asking themselves what's going on here. And I think it's just there's so much expectation the Saints are going to get that Monday night square action. They just don't want to lower the line. I think this thing could get to 6, so I would wait on it. But Raiders even plus 5.5 will be a pick of mine.
All right, before we let you go, RJ, and I know you'll be on with me tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock here on 98.7. Chris, do you have your three games for RJ to select the one?
Yeah, I've got my three games, RJ. I've got the Cowboys laying the 4.5. I've got the Giants plus 5.5, and the 49ers laying the 7. Which one you like? Got
to go with Dallas here, baby. Dallas, Dallas, Dallas.
How about them Cowboys?
All right, and listen, I know I was, you know, undefeated with you guys. I mean, we didn't mention it, but, you know, my easy. You know, when you're plus 7 and you win outright, yeah.
You say undefeated. You went 1-0.
No, I'm saying with you guys. Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
That is undefeated, Dave.
Well, you're either winless or undefeated.
Right. Beside it says 1,000 when you look at it in the standings.
You did great. We're very proud of you.
No, RJ. You know what's funny, though? Literally, you know how tough it is to win just one year? First year winner, second year winner, third year undefeated. And Dave's like, do something to impress me.
He's got high expectations for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is why you're in the show for an hour every Saturday.
It's like the RJ Bell show.
Hey, well, what do you get? If I took 1/6 of the salary, how would that be?
That'd be terrible.
Dave's loaded.
I do it for the love of New York City.
That's right.
RJ, let me ask you one quick one. Just quick.
Quick.
Are the Ravens one of those teams that that you can end up riding this whole season with how good they played?
I think so. If you look at the ATS margin last year, and obviously forget the playoffs, and that's a big factor, no doubt about it, when it comes playoff time. But their ATS margin from like week 4 on, week 5, was the best we had seen over that span in decades. I mean, like, shockingly, and, you know, against the spread margin is expectation. For example, with my Arizona winner, when you win the game, you would say, well, the 7 points plus the margin would be the ATS margin, Dave. But it was outstanding. The fact that they lost in the playoffs again, I think it just sours everyone on them. But in the regular season, I'm not sure that's justified. And I'll be candid with you. I believe that them losing has them on a mission. We certainly saw that in week one.
All right, RJ, great stuff as usual. We got you locked down now. You have Philadelphia plus the one as your pick of the week. And in cahoots with Chris, you have Dallas minus 4.5 against Atlanta.
And don't sleep on Chris and me. First week, how'd you do the other two picks, Chris?
I was 0-2.
Oh, okay. All right. So really, you dealt me a hand that I couldn't win, really.
He gave you the 13 against the against the 20, yes.
All right, well, we're going to turn it around.
All right, good stuff. We'll talk to you in the morning. All right, that, of course, is RJ Bell. The RJ Bell Report brought to you by Resorts World Catskills, featuring live table games, thousands of slots, and Sportsbook 360. Your closest resort experience, Resorts World Catskills. We're open. Come play. Now, today on ESPN Daily, after knocking out the Clippers, the Denver Nuggets tip off against LeBron and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Zach Lowe breaks down the series. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's bring him in. One of our favorites, the great Paul Feinbaum, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Paul, every time we talk to you, we're closer and closer to a full college football season. This past week, we found out that the Big Ten will play. At what point do we find out, if at all, that the Pac-12 is going to suit up and play some football this fall as well?
That may be today. I mean, the same leagues that told us it wasn't safe 5 weeks ago are saying, hey, we are ready to play. It's truly one of the most stunning turnarounds I've ever seen. But, you know, their decisions way back in August did not make a lot of sense at the time. I'm not saying, you know, it's safe to play or it's not safe to play, but they made the decisions prematurely. And they caught a lot of flack. They saw football being played everywhere, and they decided, why not us?
Paul, I know the commissioner of the ACC said that they're, you know, at the moment, they're happy with their testing protocols, but you already had three games rescheduled. I mean, Paul Feinbaum, are you okay with their testing protocols right now in the ACC?
Yeah, I mean, they're going three times a week. I saw where Nick Saban said he's going to do it every day. Coaches hate testing for this reason. Not that this was an important game on the calendar, but tomorrow Charlotte was supposed to play North Carolina, which is ranked in the top 12. I interviewed the Charlotte coach last night, and he had one positive on Monday. However, because of contact tracing, it ended up affecting about 15 players, including his entire offensive line, and he had to cancel the game. So, you know, it's interesting. I saw a minute ago the Florida Atlantic and Georgia Southern were canceled. Isn't it interesting how all these smaller schools are canceling? Tell me, I want you guys to break into programming when Alabama or Texas or one of the or Clemson actually cancels a game because of this. I mean, I don't know. I'm not being a cynic. Yes, I am being a cynic.
But yeah, you are.
The guys that, don't forget, Ed Orgeron from LSU said the other day, hey, most of our guys have had it. You know, I hope none of them get it again. that's the world we live in.
Yeah, it was cringeworthy hearing Kevin Warren talk about the motivation to start the season on October 24th, about the kids pursuing their dreams of getting a degree and competing at the highest level. We all know it's about money, Paul. But going back to the Big Ten's decision a few months ago to postpone the season, you had several players across the Big Ten opt out, including preseason All-American Sean Wade, who now apparently is back in. He said that he hired an agent, but he didn't sign any paperwork. Is there any concern from the NCAA on the compliance front and making sure that these guys didn't receive any benefits that would make them ineligible to return?
I bet there is concern, but after watching college football and college athletics the last couple of weeks, if the NCAA dares to keep someone out because they may have taken money from an agent, they may as well just shut down. I mean, what's really going on now, guys, is that college football is professional football. And I talked to a commissioner the other day, and he said, you know, the most important thing is getting our student athletes back on the field. I mean, that's a crock.
It always has been. But let's quit. I mean, let's quit pretending. And I think, and that's where I think the NCAA is in a really tough spot. They can't legislate this. If Wade took $1,000, he can offer to pay it back. Like, you know, I mean, that's just the nature of the industry right now. That's, you know, students aren't on campus, but games are being played. This is professional football. And, you know, I don't mind if these guys would just quit using that phrase student athlete. We could live with it. But until then, they're making a farce out of it. And, you know, the interesting thing, and you never know how this is going to turn out. It could turn out that we look back and go, man, the Big Ten got it right initially. And then they caved, because does anyone know where this is going week to week? And back to your original question a minute ago. You are going to see games, diluted games. You're going to see, you know, teams like Alabama's playing Missouri next week. It's a mismatch. Missouri is going to be without 12 players. Now, is there any team that didn't I mean, if Alabama was missing 12 players, then maybe the line would come down to just 14 or 16. But yeah, I mean, the wrong team's missing the players, and I think you'll see that. I think you'll see mismatches all season long. I think at the end, when teams are getting destroyed, you may see major opt-outs. But, hey, if you're a college football fan, you're getting what you want.
Right. You have some semblance of college football. Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So I'm scouring the games to ask you, because I want to actually talk a little bit about the on-field product. Is Miami-Louisville the game of the week? Is that the best game in your mind that we have in this week of college football?
I mean, it is because of the SEC, because of three Power Fives not playing, you got really bad games. And Miami at Louisville, which is an okay game, but it, by no means should that be the best game of the weekend, third week of the year. But it is. It's really the better question for you is, what's the second, third, and fourth best game?
Yeah,
I think that Clemson Citadel game is going to be a barn burner.
Yeah. You see the spread on that, Paul? Clemson is favored by 46 in that one.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's enough. as somebody who covers college football, I'm happy they're all coming back just so we don't have any more weekends like this, because, I mean, there is literally nothing to talk about other than the Heisman Trophy race.
We'll get love it.
Don't start with me, Paul. Don't start with me. But, Paul, I got to ask you this question. I'm watching the Duke-Notre Dame game last weekend, and I was just not impressed with the Fighting Irish. Are they false flagging, or is Duke just better than what we thought?
I think a little bit of that. I think it's Notre Dame. I just don't think they really cared. I interviewed Brian Kelly the other day, and they just gave him a lifetime contract. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with that picture. But, Notre Dame essentially has a one-game season, and it's November, whatever, 8th against Clemson at home. And I don't think they'll be tested until then. And if they can, even if they don't win that game, they might still have a shot of a rematch. But that's just I think they're a good team. I just don't think. To me, in college football this year, now with Ohio State, you basically have three teams: Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. And after that, who's next? Oklahoma might get in the playoffs because they have a one or two game season. Georgia's pretty good. Florida's got a chance, but this is not a Penn State maybe, but. By the way, this has been the same story now for about 5 years. I mean, we basically have three or four teams every year that are cut above the rest. It's not that hard to pick them. Last year, LSU was a little bit of a surprise, but they were still a top 10 team preseason.
Paul, I wanted to get a chance to ask you this. What did you think about the Big Ten's plan to return and how the schedule was going to be laid out and everything else?
Well, they still haven't given us a schedule, but one thing we do know, I mean, the schedules will be the eight. It's an eight plus one. I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but so if Ohio State will play six divisional games. That's Penn State, Michigan, the usual suspects, and then they'll play two from the other side. But on the final weekend of the season, guys, that's when the championship games are being played. In every other league, if you don't win your division, you go home, get lost. The Big Ten on the championship weekend, which is December 19th, they'll have let's say it's Wisconsin and Ohio State. They are also going to have This sounds like something you did like in Little League ball. They're going to have 2 versus 2 from each division, 3 versus 3, all the way down to 9 versus 9. So we conceivably could have a game between, let's say, Northwestern and Rutgers on the final day of the season for 9th place overall.
It's a good thing they won't allow fans into that game.
And by the way, the Rutgers president, his name is Holloway, Dr. Holloway, a week ago he was blasting the SEC saying, you know, they're craven and crass for playing, and now his league, his team is playing. I mean, Rutgers might be the biggest loser in all of this. I mean, they had a chance to escape a season without 8 or 9 losses.
All right, Paul. Listen, we appreciate it. We will talk to you next week. Hopefully the games will be a little bit better heading into next week, and we can focus on the Heisman Trophy.
You got Alabama at Missouri next week.
There you go.
Hey, Dave, hold on 1 second quick. Paul, let me ask you a question, because we mentioned it earlier, and I wanted to ask you, and I totally forgot. I mean, is that the way that Ed Orgeron answered that question? Is it, I think our whole team got it. Like, so cavalier and nonchalant. Is that the overwhelming feeling from college football coaches in the SEC?
Yes. by the way, Texas Tech in the Big 12, it came out the other day, they've had 75 players. I bet if you go up and down the top schools in the country, Clemson, Alabama, you can throw Texas Tech in, there's LSU, you would see 50, 60 plus at all these. And, you know, they can talk all, hey, it's safe, they're in a bubble, but deep down, if you gave them truth serum, I would be willing to bet you these coaches have no objection at all to these players getting it, just so they won't have to deal with it once the season starts. They'll still have to deal with it in smaller part. But, I mean, I have parents, I have friends of friends of mine whose kids play SEC football, and they were telling me this in June and July, that the kids were laughing about it. I mean, I hate to say that, because I know how many people are listening who have suffered mightily, who have lost spouses or parents or children or who knows what. But that's just the way it is down here.
It's sad. It's sad. And you know what? There's we have no idea if you can get it again. So this whole laughing thing is just, it's unbelievable. Paul, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Good stuff as always.
Always enjoy. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. SNY 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune into SNY TV, home of the Jets, for the Jets post game live with Bart Scott, Jonah Schwartz, and Jeannie Coakley. Following Sunday's game against the 49ers, catch the Jets' quote of the game, then tune into our show on Monday starting at 9 a.m. for your chance to win official Jets merchandise, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY. Jets post-game live only on SNY. Now, we want to remind you as well, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Now streaming Disney's new movie Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom, available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premiere access. All right, so we're going to make our picks. Let's just recap where we are after week one. I went 2-1, and I am the front runner through 1 week of our selections. Chris went 1-2, and Rick, thanks to Steven Goskowski, who was the most accurate kicker in the history of football heading into the game, and is now the 9th most accurate kicker in the history of football leaving the game, went 0-2-1.
Yeah, just give me an extra point. All I needed was the extra point. That's it.
Yeah, you were right there.
Just make it 3.
0-2-1. Now, RJ's game of the week, Philly plus 1. Chris and RJ's collaboration game, Dallas minus 4.5. All right, Rick, you want to start with your 3 selections of the week?
Not really.
Well, go ahead.
I really would rather not. All right, here you go, David.
All right, Richard.
Now, what is the thought process here? Because I asked the question about Philly, so I like Philly. Am I still allowed to take Philly?
Yes.
Yeah, you could take Philly.
Okay, because I don't want to get yelled at for taking Philly, and then you guys get mad. All right, so I will start. I'm going to take Philly plus the 1.
All right, so you got Philly plus the point.
I got Philly plus the point.
Yep, against the Rams at home.
I'm going to buy into what you guys are selling. I hate to do it, but I'm going to buy into it. I'm going to take the Giants. I'll take the Giants plus the 5.5.
Giants?
Hey, now.
The 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying it. You guys somehow talked me into it.
Now, here's the thing. And, Chris, what? I think you need to be on the same page as me. If the Giants lose by 6 or more, you cannot come screaming to us.
No, that's exactly. I mean, I'm building
an
excuse.
That's what you're going to do.
Exactly.
So either we give you a free pick or you go crazy on us. That's not fair.
No, that's very fair. I told you.
No, it's not.
I do not want to be. Yeah, what do you mean, no, it's not?
No, he can, Dave. He can. Because if the Giants go up to Chicago and stink up the joint, then it would be clear that you and I are both drinking the blue Kool-Aid and we're selling Rick a bill of false goods. So, yeah, he's absolutely within his rights to blame us if the Giants don't at least cover in this game.
All right. Go ahead, your third pick.
Unless you don't want me to take that game, because if you don't want me to take that game, I can switch it.
No, take the game. I just don't want to be blamed if you lose it. But go ahead.
No, you get back. And then I'm going to finish it off with I'll take Baltimore minus the 7.
Baltimore minus the 7. All right. So your three picks are Philly plus 1, Giants plus 5.5, Baltimore minus the 7. Chris, what you got?
I'm also going to partake in the Giants going up to Soldier Field. I'm going to take them plus the 5.5 points. I am going to take R.J. Bell's advice and go with the Dallas Cowboys laying the 4.5 against the Falcons because I just don't think Atlanta's that good. And then despite the injuries, I'm still going to roll with the Niners flying across the country and beating the Jets by at least a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Niners and lay the 7.
No one is more down on the Jets than you. Like, as bad as they were, I think you're leading the charge of how down you are on the New York Jets. Right?
That's you fine. Are. I'll be that guy.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad guy
to be.
Usually
a safe bet when you're going against Adam Gase.
I could not agree with you more. I will make it a trio. You know I like the Giants. I think they're going to win outright. I'm not just plus 5.5. I think the Giants are going to win this game outright against the Bears in Chicago. Tyrod Taylor looked awful the other day. I get Kansas City laying 8.5. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think they win that game by double digits. And I was impressed. I'm sold. I think Roethlisberger is back. Whether it's Connor, I don't think is great, or Snell, whoever it's going to be, I think Pittsburgh finds their way to a bigger win than 7.5 points. So I'll take the Steelers. So I'm going Giants plus 5.5, Kansas City minus 8.5, and Pittsburgh minus 7.5.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.